The PS5 is getting a price increase due to the AI infrastructure rollout. Plus, even if you make a popular game like Fortnite, you will still lose your job. Tonight is March 29th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next.
So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Are you ready? Ready? That's what we were singing before. Overclock Remix. We played an Overclock Remix before. It was some nice 90s techno style from Sonic CD. And it just kept repeating, are you ready? 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 And so are we ready? I guess we're not. I don't know. Yes, let's say that we're ready. Let's talk about this. This is a Yes, You Are Ready edition for this of this episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network, you are, in fact, ready, ready. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Fog Network. Come join us, interact with the show directly, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But this is a podcast. I do understand we're a little bit behind. I do understand that as well. Hopefully we're going to get that straightened out and get you caught up. But you can also join us on our Discord server. Vognetwork.com/Discord is where you can go to talk back, give us ideas for things to talk about on the podcast. No, I am not putting the college football team that did a Minecraft meme on social media. That is not part of the show roll tonight, but you can go over and see why that was posted and what that was posted about. But you can find that over on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. So let's go ahead and start talking about the things that happened this week. And the first one actually is not a news story. It wasn't the news. It's not the sad news. We're going to cover the thing I'm kind of excited about in the first part here because, and it was even mentioned, I believe, when this came out that, between this and, yes, I'm going to mention the Commodore 64 Ultimate. Just between this and the Commodore 64 Ultimate existing, I'm eating really good, and I had to mention, because my nostalgia is a hell of a drug, and it's eating really good this year. But I mean, there is stuff coming out that I am excited for. I am looking forward actually to Tamagotchi Life because I did play the 3DS version, I did play the demo, it's kind of interesting how some of the things that they've done just in the demo, but it did leave me wanting more. So I'll be getting that, and then obviously Forza Horizon 6 is coming out, so I'm also going to play the new stuff and with the consoles that I have because they're very expensive now, and we'll talk about that. But the other way that my nostalgia is eating really good is because of a new game announcement, and it is a game. It's a remake of a throwback of a game that I played heavily. This game was my identity in my early to mid 20s. This was my entire identity, because back when you're that age, you tend to really latch on to whatever your primary hobby is, and that is your identity. That is everything that you are. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that, but essentially you haven't figured out that you are a whole person yet, and you have multiple different facets. So this game was my entire identity from the moment I bought my first 3DFX Voodoo card. I think it was a Voodoo 3. No, I had a Voodoo 2. I think I had a Voodoo 2. Then I upgraded to a Voodoo 3. Just to play this game, it took... I couldn't get it until a month after it came out. And it is EverQuest. Not the first time I had played a game online. Not even the first, MMO that I had played. Because I had played Ultima Online for like once or something. But EverQuest was the game that defined me, and I had not yet graduated college. I was already playing this game in my college dorm room. So I still graduated somehow. But then I actually got really involved even in the community. I was actually a volunteer. I was what was called a guide in EverQuest, which is essentially the frontline customer service, which was a volunteer position. They paid us in paying for our account. So that $12.99 a month or whatever that I was paying for EverQuest subscription, it was comped for like a year or so because I was a guide. And so I would actually be, you know, whenever you did a petition in EverQuest, it would first go to one of us volunteer guides, and then they had a call, like essentially a call center in San Diego at Verint Interactive Headquarters, which is the name of the company that created EverQuest. They had a team of there, and there were GMs that literally went into that office, and it was a call center setup, and there would be a GM for your server. And whenever someone would petition, we would filter it, and then the GM would go in, who was the actual employee of Verint Interactive, and then, you know, handle the situation and stuff. And I was that for years. That was before, like, a lot of people that are in this community knew me from, maybe have met me, if they met me before I did the podcast, it was because I was a moderator on GeForce forums. That's what I did after EverQuest. I did the EverQuest guide thing. And then when G4, the cable television network, and this is before they bought before Comcast bought Tech TV, so this is not the same thing as Tech TV. I was gone. I left when the Tech TV merger happened. I was there pre Tech TV. I was a moderator of the chat room and of the forums over there, which now we know is a community manager. That's what we call that now. But that, there was no term for that, and they wouldn't even give that to an intern. That wasn't worth money. So you had volunteers doing it. And so I was a volunteer guide in EverQuest. I actually went to like three different EverQuest fanfares. And I even worked the fanfares as an NPC. They had like a live quest. And I was one of the NPCs that would give a quest item that people would actually be going through and, you know, and trying to solve to win prizes, basically. I was very much a part of the EverQuest community, and then I burned out. Then I burned out, and then I went into Star Wars Galaxies, really burned out, and really until Rob from formerly of Orange Lounge Radio got me into Final Fantasy 14, I had not played an MMO since Star Wars Galaxies. My Star Wars Galaxies, that was bad. Because that was like, I actually forgot to pay bills. I was playing Star Wars Galaxies too much. And I wasn't even doing combat. It was all the role playing and stuff like that. And so it was really bad. I quit cold turkey, never looked back. And I did not touch an MMO again until Final Fantasy 14, like a decade later. And I did not hit Final Fantasy 14 as hard as I could have. So, but anyway, EverQuest was my jam. In fact, I even actually have my original box that I bought for $49.99 from the Electronics Boutique. This is the original PC big box from 989 Studios. They hadn't changed their name to Verint yet. So it was from 989 Studios. It has the 3DFX logo, stuff like that. There's actually stuff in here. I'm showing the back of the box. On the inside, there's artwork that says "You're in our world now." Yeah. So what's in the box? All my stuff's still in here. So, back in the day, and even in the 90s, you would get things called feelies, is what they would. That would be the term. Infocom put a lot in theirs. But one of the feelies was a cloth map. And this was actually, this is not from this big box. This is from the first expansion, The Ruins of Kunark, which was the first expansion. But a cloth map of the EverQuest world of Norath, the planet. But this was obviously from, this is the first expansion because it's got the brand new continent, which I have that box too. I have that box. And so that's in there. Okay. And this, everybody, what I am holding up, I am holding up a book that says EverQuest on the front. So this is what we call an instruction manual. Now, you don't see these that much anymore because we have these things in game called tutorials. So you don't need an instruction manual. But back then, back in the day, everybody, you would need, and like obviously the pages are kind of crinkled up. And, you know, this is definitely a, like, there is not multiple languages. This is a, I'm trying to see how many pages there are, 78 pages in this book all about how to play EverQuest. So this is what we had, and I am positive that I had this, I was reading this in class in college, my senior plus year of college. So, yeah. Needless to say, I was all in on EverQuest for like several years. And Questbuster says a real cloth map and a manual at no extra cost. Those were truly mythic times. Yes. So why am I talking about this now? Well, I get to now relive some of that. PC Gamer reports that true to its name, EverQuest has not let the questing end since 1999. EverQuest is actually still around, by the way. That's why that's mentioning that. But it's been a minute since a big new EverQuest project appeared aside from expansions to the existing MMOs. The last was EverQuest Next, which was canceled in 2016. Finally, Daybreak has something new. And it's coming this July, EverQuest Legends. It is vanilla EverQuest as it was originally released before any expansions, with all the same challenges, graphics, and sounds lovingly restored from 1999, but with a twist. Daybreak is making bigger changes to the original experience than Blizzard did with WoW Classic, heavily buffing player characters to let solo players or small groups experience everything the game has to offer without having to recruit 30 friends to go kite fire giants and kill Lord Nagafin, which I never did any of those. Players will choose their race as normal, but they will start with two classes, sort of like multi-classing in D&D. After the briefest journey to level 10, they will get a third. Characters will keep all the skills, spells, and disciplines from their initial class, making an individual character much stronger than their true classic equivalent. So you can play a wizard that can quad kite with bard speed and give herself clarity, or a warrior who brings his own mage, damage, shield, and shaman buffs. Being able to freely choose three classes opens a truly staggering number of combinations, and it should be an absolute feast for people. They're also including a whole huge amount of alternate advancement points, apparently close to 1,000, right from the start, giving players access to a ton of passive power and abilities that they wouldn't normally get until the Shadows of Lucklin expansion or beyond, which I did have Shadows of Lucklin. I think that was the last... I didn't get Planes of Power, I think was the fourth expansion. And speaking of Lucklin, they've included the Beastmaster class as Karens, as playable races in Classic, as well as introducing whole new systems like feeding duplicate items to each other to make them stronger and being able to move the proc from one weapon to another with something called Exaltations. They also will have the original character models. So they did refresh a lot of the models and redid a lot of the character models in like the 2010s. And from what the PC Gamer here is, it's the original models. It's the original ugly models, not the new ones. So yeah. So this is the thing that I'm excited about for this is also apparently this is just going to be a subscription fee. And I don't know what other monetization they're going to be doing, but hey, that also means I can try it for like a month and then I can stop. But the thing about this is it's a soloable version. And, the reason I said I never got to kill Lord Nagafin, I never kited fire giants is because even back then I didn't like playing with others. I was a bard. And you got to realize, when EverQuest came out, the level cap was 50. My bard was level 24. That's as high as I got my bard. The entire reason I basically power leveled, I think level 20 is when you could get a last name. And so I really, really concentrated on trying to get to 20. But if you don't group up after level 20, especially back then, you weren't going to be doing much because you couldn't solo anything, really. Or the things you could solo gave you very little experience. So there was not a lot I could do past that. So it was all role playing and stuff. And then that's kind of, well, that's part of why I became a guide, is so then I could see the other things, because as my guide avatar, I could actually go into places invisible. So I got to, now we couldn't, like, they were actually like, don't go see the dragons because they could still aggro you. And then you've got to get a GM to get your body. But, like, I went to go see other places. I could walk through places and didn't aggro any of the mobs. And so this is, I am excited to actually be able to solo the game. You can also party up. It is an online game. But I'm excited to be able to solo the game and try to, you know, kind of recreate that feeling of being in Kellithen for the first time. I can still, like, I can still see and hear Kellithen on my CRT TV, monitor that I had at the time, with my 3DFX Voodoo 2 card, is I believe what I had at the time, and the Adlib sound card. So, yeah, and ZenMonkey11 says, it was so much fun going into the towns looking for a healer and a tank. It's the reason I love the game. It forced you to play in teams. And I get it. That's when I learned I didn't like playing with others. It was EverQuest that taught me that. And I loved role-playing with others. I loved being in the space with others. But I didn't like actually playing the game of EverQuest with others. I preferred my own path. And EverQuest Legends allows me to have that while also giving people the option to group up and be in teams and things like that. So I am excited for this. There is a beta sign up. I did sign up for the beta. I did not join their Discord server because Discord's not a replacement for forums. And I know I say that because even though Fog Network replaced our forums with Discord. So I am a hypocrite. But I did not keep the forums updated. And so now they are so out of date, the forum software. They are so out of date, I don't think I can even upgrade them to the current version. I think they're so out of date that you can't upgrade them anymore. But anyway, I signed up for the beta. I don't, you know, I have not gotten in there them yet. So that means I have not signed an NDA. So I can tell you I haven't been selected for the beta yet. So, I am very excited. It's going to come out pretty soon, in a couple months. And I will go in there and probably go very hard into it for like a month or two. And then be like, okay, cool. Done. Because like I said, that 1 to 20 experience, I knew I got multiple characters up to like level 10, because you could solo from 1 to 10, because nobody wanted to group with you if you were that low anyway. But what happened with me is, going back to kind of ZenMonkey's point here, is that I was in a guild. And I knew a bunch of people that were already level 50. And unlike, you know, what games later did, because of the success, you know, learning from EverQuest's design decisions, I almost said mistakes. And it wasn't really a mistake. It was just, it was their design decision, is that there was no point for a level 50 to level with someone who was, or to group up with someone who was level 24. And I didn't like... I didn't really like playing with randoms. I wanted to play with people I knew, but they were all in their level 50 doing the high level raids. And the experience actually, it negated out your experience. So like, I didn't get anything for having level 50 people in my party, because you know that wouldn't, power leveling wasn't fair. So what Final Fantasy 14 have done, I've never actually played World of Warcraft, but in Final Fantasy 14. Is if you are in an instance and it's rated for a certain level, it drops the people that are higher level down to that level. And then, you know, somebody who is at that level, they get all the same experience. And so, those high level players can't use some of their high level spells and things, but you can still group up together even at different levels. And that was not a thing in EverQuest. You had to find people that were at your level. And ZenMonkey11 says, I remember one night we spent hours to find a healer. We found a healer, and then it took us like 20 minutes to get to a high-level area to level. When we got to the area, we noticed our healer must have fallen asleep, and his character had hit on auto-follow. We left him there and signed off. Yeah. Now, one of the things that they did say in EverQuest Legends is you will not have to go find your corpse. If you fall, if you die, you do not have to go run and find your corpse and drag it and then loot it manually, which was a thing. That was a thing. Now you respawn and you have all your gear, and there is like a, you know, a temporary penalty. You could also de-level. I don't know if they get rid of, they take away experience, but I think one of the reasons that I was level 24 is because I hit level 25 and died too many times that I lost enough experience that I went down to level 24. So yeah, EverQuest was brutal. That's why if you look back, it's funny. You can go back on especially a site like Slashdot that still has all the comments and stuff. And you go to the announcement on Slashdot and all the comments when Blizzard announced that they were making World of Warcraft, the actual announcement that World of Warcraft was coming up. And everybody on Slashdot laughed. And I was one of them. I didn't comment on that article specifically, but I was there with them saying, yeah, like the RTS company that made Warcraft 2 and Starcraft, they're really going to take down the 800-pound gorilla that is EverQuest. EverQuest, it was an 800-pound gorilla, and also I think had 800,000 subscribers, which was unheard of in 2001 or whatever when World of Warcraft was announced. And then when World of Warcraft came out, the people on Slashdot were like, it's a baby EverQuest. It's EverQuest for babies because there's no stakes. You don't have to go find your corpse. You don't lose experience when you die. There are no penalties. There is, you know, so World of Warcraft was considered EverQuest for babies. And then World of Warcraft became the juggernaut, and EverQuest was just it's a footnote in history, kind of. So that's why, and that's also why I never played World of Warcraft, because I'm like, I already played EverQuest, and World of Warcraft is just EverQuest for babies. But then I played Final Fantasy XIV, which is more like World of Warcraft, and I liked it. So I probably would have liked World of Warcraft, but I never got into it. But EverQuest Legends is coming out in June or July. It scrolled off my screen already. And there's going to be a beta, and it's going to be separate economy from what they currently have with EverQuest. I don't think EverQuest 2 is actually still on. I think EverQuest 2 got shut down, but the original EverQuest is still there. And I do actually believe last time I tried EverQuest, there was like a 30-day free trial for people who used to be in there. My character was still there. The problem was, and this had to have been like in the 2010s, early 2010s. My character was actually still where I was the last time I signed on in like 2003. The neat thing about EverQuest, though, is that they did have events that would happen that would literally change the makeup of a zone, which is an area of the map. And what I mean by is who controls it. So I was a wood elf, which is one of the quote unquote good races. And the where I had logged off was in a hut in the wood and the high elf city that was, I believe, on one of the other continents. Since I had logged off and stopped paying for my account, an event happened where the Dark Elves took over that town. So I log in, and immediately outside of my hut is a Dark Elf guard, like a level 60 Dark Elf guard NPC, and I'm kill on sight. And that is also where basically I was bound, which is when they would have a wizard or whatever could bind you to a location, and that's where you respawned. So I would respawn inside that hut, which when I had logged off, that was a high elf, wood elf place, but it was not anymore at that time. So I actually had to get a GM. I actually petitioned and got a GM to rebind me somewhere else because I had been... I was there before, back when it was a good place to be. And it would do that a couple times. There was another place that was like the newbie zone for halflings. And it was nice and it was quiet. And then it got taken over by Dark Elves, and then it became a high level zone. And it used to be the way that you would run through the main continent. And then suddenly that easy part became really, really hard. And it sucked for people who were new halflings because that used to be the newbie zone. And now it's not. Anyway, EverQuest Legends coming out soon. Let's talk about some more recent stuff because I know that people are probably tired of hearing about EverQuest. And it's not out on the Commodore 64, so I can't do it there. Anyway, so hopefully you already have your Sony hardware, your Sony console hardware, because unfortunately, thanks to the AI infrastructure rollout, the prices of Sony consoles and peripherals are going up very, very soon. Ars Technica reports that memory and storage shortages and price hikes that started hitting PC components last year have steadily crippled outward access to all kinds of consumer tech. Some products have disappeared, gone out of stock, been delayed, and others have undergone multiple rounds of price hikes. Today's bad news comes from Sony, which is raising prices for PlayStation 5 consoles in the U.S. just 8 months after their last price hike. The drive-less digital edition will increase from $500 to $600. The base PlayStation 5 with an optical drive will increase from $550 to $650. And the PS5 Pro is going up from $750 to $900. At the beginning of 2025, these consoles cost $450, $500, and $700, respectively. So I was able to buy my PlayStation 5, I believe, for $450, and now it's $600, the exact same thing. It was $500 when I bought it, and now it is $650. It's gone up $150. And I remember when we were talking about like Nintendo and Microsoft doing this, and people were like, well, Sony would never. Sony likes the players. Sony is for the gamer. Well, no. They have to pay the same pay for the same shortages that we do. Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo had all announced one or more price increases for one or more consoles throughout 2025. These were driven more by the administration's tariffs on imported goods than component shortages. Game console price cuts had already become less common over the course of the 2010s, making consoles like the 5-plus-year-old PS5 historically expensive compared to older consoles at this point in their lifespan. RAM and flash memory chips are in short supply primarily because of demand from AI data centers. Memory manufacturers have shifted more production toward making the kind of memory found in AI accelerators like NVIDIA's H200, leaving less for the consumer market. And the situation is unlikely to improve anytime soon, barring a major shift in demand from the AI industry. Manufacturers like Kioxia have said that their capacity is already sold out through the end of 2026. The complexity of chip making means it takes months or years to ramp up additional manufacturing capacity, and chip makers can be slow to do it because they don't want to end up with a glut of memory that they can't sell if market conditions change. In the short to medium term, this means all that high prices will probably stick around for a while. So, Immortal King says, blame PlayStation, blame Canada, don't blame the president. I actually don't blame this one on the current administration in the U.S. It's because this is very much driven by what I'm going to call, as neutral as possible, the AI infrastructure rollout. And the thing that you have to realize is that production is not infinite. Production is finite. And when these companies that are doing these rollouts of AI infrastructure, when they are willing to pay a lot of money to have a particular type of chip, and you have the infrastructure and you have the capacity to make that chip, that is more that you get more revenue out of, you are going to do it. That is the right business thing to do. Okay? That means that you actually don't make the other type of memory, because why would you? You make more money when the people with all the money are buying up all your stuff. And they're like, you know what? We'll have a purchase order and, you know, you can make it. And as long as we get it throughout the year. And you'll find this, like, let's use a food analogy. Let's use a restaurant analogy. Let's say somebody comes in with a big catering order at a restaurant, at a mom-and-pop restaurant. They don't have the capacity to make more. They may close the store down for the day. They're not going to take in somebody walking off the street wanting something, because they've got this huge catering order and they're going to get more money and more revenue off of that catering order than they are just, you know, what people are going to be coming in to get off the street. So they're going to do the catering order. That's kind of what's happening here, is that they've gotten these huge catering orders that are basically taking up their entire factory, and they're like, we don't need to sell to consumers anymore. We're going to make more money this way, and we don't need to sell to consumers. And at some point, this rollout is going to end. Now, it could either end by the bubble bursting, which is what a lot of people hope for, but also, eventually, all these places are going to be built. If the bubble doesn't burst the way that we all think, the rollout is going to complete. And then these manufacturers are going to be like, all right, now we can go back to making consumer-grade products. But it's going to take some years to do that rollout. So we're going to be feeling this as consumers for a couple of years. And then what I'm sure that the AI companies are hoping is that, well, by then, they will have all the processing power and you'll be playing games on the cloud that's, from their rollout, and you won't need a PlayStation 5 in your home anymore. You won't need a good graphics card in your home anymore because you're just going to use their AI farm and cloud services to play the games. So this one, I don't blame the tariffs and the presidential administration for that. There's a lot of other things to blame the presidential administration for, but this is very much directly related to the AI infrastructure rollout that is going on across the world, and it's why you're going to start seeing a lot more consumer electronics just not being available. Have the Steam Decks even come back in stock? I don't think they have. S. Jaron and Matt says, OpenAI is shutting down Sora and Disney ended its billion-dollar partnership. I don't know how much longer they're sticking around. Let's be careful about our Kingdom Hearts 4 spoilers, talking about Sora being dead. Just kidding. That could be the first bubble to fall. I don't know. Questper says, literally, regular consumers looking for memory-related products mean less to their bottom line versus billion-dollar customers willing to pay them in venture capital. Yes, that's the thing. This is a great business decision for the chip makers. It's going to increase so much shareholder value, and they're going to have record profits, and it's going to be at the expense of you. And they're fine with that because they have their customer. You might have used to be their customer, but they've got new customers now, and it ain't you, and it ain't Sony, because there's not as much money in chips that are for game consoles. There's just not as much money there. Yeah, Questbuster says line must go up. So hopefully you already got a PS5. Apparently these aren't going into effect until April 4th. But apparently some retailers have already raised the price of their existing stock. So good luck. I have not actually looked, but I have heard that there are some retailers that literally have already raised the price. Even though they already have the unit in stock, it's already there. It was already on the shelf. They've already changed the price. And so I guess the retailer gets to keep the added $100 and then future stock, they will give that to Sony. But that's also a business move that a retailer can make because it gives them more money. It gives them, because Sony's already announced this is what the price is. And so they're like, okay, well, we'll go ahead and charge that price. And we'll be covered. We'll just go ahead and do that work. So even though they're not supposed to go into effect until April 4th, some retailers have already just been like, okay, this is what the price is now. And then, so the last story, this is also kind of sad. I even have a personal connection to this one just a little bit. IGN reports that Fortnite developer Epic Games has announced it is laying off 1,000 staff due to a downturn in engagement in its Evergreen Battle Royale. In a message shared publicly to staff shared publicly, Epic Games boss Tim Sweeney said the company was spending significantly more than we're making, meaning that it now needed to make major cuts to keep the company funded. The news comes just a week after the launch of Fortnite's highly anticipated new Battle Royale season, and 2 weeks after the company controversially raised the price of the game's lucrative V-Bucks in-game currency, prompting a huge backlash from players. So, Fortnite, one of the biggest revenue games in the world right now, It is when we always talk about these layoffs, they're like, people are like, you have to make Fortnite money to be able to not lay off your people. Well, it turns out, even if you make Fortnite money, you're still going to lay off 1,000 people. Sweeney told Epic Games employees, quote, today we're laying off 1,000 Epic employees. I'm sorry that we're here again. The downturn in Fortnite engagement that started in 2025 means we're spending significantly more than we're making, and we have to make major cuts to keep the company funded, unquote. There is over $500 million of identified cost savings to laying off all these people in contracting marketing, while the hiring of some roles will cease. Sweeney said, quote, some of the challenges we're facing are industry-wide challenges, blaming slower growth, weaker spending, and together cost economics, unquote. The current consoles are selling less than the last generation, is what he says, and noted that games were increasingly competing for their time with other forms of entertainment. Essentially, a bunch of players went out and touched grass, and that is affecting Fortnite's bottom line. That's what's going on there. He continued, quote, some of our challenges are unique to Epic. Despite Fortnite remaining one of the most successful games in the world, we've had challenges delivering constant, consistent Fortnite magic with every season. We're only in the early stages of returning to mobile and optimizing Fortnite for the world's billions of smartphones. And in being the industry's vanguard, we have taken a lot of bullets in a battle in which the early days are paying off for ourselves and all developers, unquote. What he's referencing there is that suing Apple and Google over the App Store cost them a lot more than they bargained for. And it, like, Apple and Google basically took Epic Games to the cleaners financially. Even though Epic did win, it costs money to win. And Epic has learned that, and they are like, well, now that we've made the industry better, we have to continue making things worse. Questmaster wants to remind people, there's grass in Fortnite, by the way. So Epic also said that the Psyonix-made Rocket Racing mode would go offline permanently, and two other modes will be taken offline next month. Festival Battle Stage, which is the Rock Band versus competitive mode, because Harmonix was bought by Epic, and Fortnite Ballistic, an attempt at making a tactical shooter. They include long these layoffs include high-profile and long-standing Fortnite team members, including principal engineer Evan Kinney, who posted his reaction on social media and said that he was, quote, confused and bewildered at being thrown out after working on the game and its popular live events, unquote. And this is the personal connection. Because I have had the pleasure, the absolute pleasure, of meeting Evan. I don't really know Evan all that well, but I have worked with Evan. Evan is one of the producers at Games Done Quick, and I have been a host at 11 Games Done Quick events now over the past 6 years. And Evan has, I have been working under Evan at these events before. We have, worked together. We have a lot of great respect of each other. At least that's what he tells me, that he respects me, so I believe him. He really puts his heart into everything he does, and he put his heart into Fortnite. He was often the only person that understood what a lot of the code did. And now that he's gone, apparently they're having some bugs that they can't figure out, that Evan would have figured out. But he is gone. There's a lot of other leads that were very influential for Fortnite's continued success that were also laid off. And I don't know why they were chosen to be laid off. Evan was even working through pneumonia. He was doing the thing that you're not supposed to do, where you're working while you're sick. He had pneumonia. Like, he actually just recovered from pneumonia, like, this year, this couple, last week, I believe. But he was still working. He was still trying to debug. He was still trying to do everything. He was, you know, had multiple directors tell him how important and integral he was to the team. And he, now he's gone. And now the team is hurting because, like, apparently there's employees that are like, we have no clue how we're going to continue. Like, we lost so much institutional knowledge with these layoffs that it's, they're like, we don't know how we can continue. And apparently, like, one of the other people that, and I don't have this story in the show role, is that there was somebody else who was actually, like, had a terminal condition. And he had his life insurance through Epic Games. Well, now that he's no longer at Epic Games, he no longer has that. His family no longer has that life insurance, which is what they were planning end of life care for him. And once you're in terminal, you can't get life insurance. No life insurance company is going to insure you. And Epic was basically going to be his last job. He didn't have that much longer to live. And he was working at Epic so his family could be provided for after he was gone. And that's gone now because of my weight. I can't get life insurance independently. I have life insurance through my employer, and they're like, oh, here's some supplemental life insurance. I'm like, I don't qualify for that. And I even had one previous employer be like, well, no, I don't believe so. You should apply anyway. And I'm like, okay, here's the rejection letter. And she's like, I had never seen a rejection letter for life insurance before. And I'm like, well, it's because you're very thin and you're athletic, and that's why you've never seen one. This has nothing to do with AI. Sweeney said, quote, to the extent it improves productivity, we want to have as many awesome developers delivering great content and tech as we can, unquote. So he said this was very painful. Yeah, apparently they had, it's estimated because they're not a publicly traded company, so we don't know how many people they had. They did lay off 830 staff in 2023, which was around 16% of its workforce at the time. So that meant that the company probably employed over 4,000 people, which means now they've literally laid off a quarter of their workforce. So it turns out, even if you make Fortnite, your job is not safe, because that's what everybody was saying. Well, you know, we've got to make Fortnite money. We have to be as successful as Fortnite. That's the only way we can keep talent. Well, apparently, no, not the case, because even if you make Fortnite, you're not going to have a job in this industry. So it's going to be real interesting to see how many people can afford to buy games when all of these office jobs and creative jobs are no longer people aren't paying for them anymore. I think it was Henry Ford many, many, many years ago was, you know, showing the union boss of United Auto Workers. I think they were the union even in those early days. Showing the robots that he was implementing to put in his factory to build the cars. And Henry Ford told the union boss, yeah, good luck getting these robots to join your union. And the union boss clapped back very quickly at Henry Ford, saying, yeah, good luck getting these robots to buy your cars. And even if Tim Sweeney says here that these layoffs have nothing to do with robots and AI, the fact of that there are, and I believe it was Brenda Romero and John Romero actually said recently that more of the industry percentage-wise have been laid off and lost their jobs now than in 1982 when the industry crashed. We've lost more of the workforce by percentage, not by number, not by people, but by percentage. We have lost more of the gaming industry workforce due to layoffs now than we did when the gaming industry crashed in 1982. And on that note, we're going to take a music break, and we will be back to chat with OLR and see what else. Hopefully there's some good news over in the geek side of things, in the geek spectrum side of things. We're going to take a quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
It's me, Mario. Not really. Obi-Wan Jabroni instead. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com. Sorry for the terrible impression, by the way, Charles Martinet. I tried.
Yeah, you tried. Thank you so much for that, Obi-Wan Jabroni. If you want to leave a bumper, hey, I haven't had a new bumper in years. So you can either contact me on Discord and give me an audio of just your voice or a video of just you with your voice coming back to the Bobby Blackwell Show, and I'll choose which DMCA violation I want to put behind it. All right, so I'm going to check just in case. I don't think anybody's in the green room ready. Nope. So coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Sound Radio 2DX, the three people who talk about games and all of geek culture for longer than I do. We like to check in with them to see what's going on and what's going on there. OLR, are you there?
I am, but I am having slight technical difficulties.
Oh, no.
Let me see. Oh, it's not bad. It's just me forgetting that Camo exists.
There it is. All
Hi.
Right. Hi there. So did you play EverQuest? Were you ever in the EverQuest camp? Or did you start with Warcraft?
No.
Yeah.
Actually, for a long time, my jam was Gemstone 3 in tech on AOL.
Yeah.
I was one of them. And then I didn't really think I got into... Well, I did Ragnarok Online. That was my jam.
Okay.
Ragnarok Online. And then... I tried WoW, and then I quit. And then I tried WoW and quit. And the fourth time, it was Cataclysm, and I decided it was worth playing. But I've never, ever, ever played EverQuest.
All right.
So for me, it was NeverQuest.
It was NeverQuest, yeah. Yeah. And for a lot of people, that's how they felt with WoW, because like, they had all these other things, and they didn't need to play WoW.
We used to call it Evercrack.
Yeah. Well, and hey, well-deserved as somebody who was on it. For many years, because like I traveled the country for some of these fanfares back, yeah. You know, because it was unheard of at the time. Like there was a lot of things that came later that other people did that was unheard of at the time. And they're like, wow, this one game, they're putting on a convention in a hotel room for this mm-hmm. one game, and a whole bunch of people are going to it, and we don't understand that. Like, because this was before PAX. Like, there was E3, and that was it.
Yeah, but the fantasy community had stuff like that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to MobyCon mm-hmm. in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah. Well,
that's where I met Margaret Weiss. I was her gopher.
Yeah. Yeah. So, awesome. I haven't met her yet, but
she's a nice lady.
She's very nice. That's everybody I've heard that's met her has said that. But it's like, those are like more like they have a bunch of things going on at once. And this was like mm-hmm. something just for EverQuest.
Yeah.
And
it's a big deal.
Yeah. And people were like, nobody's, you know, they're not going to be able to fill it. And I'm like, no, it's sold out. And mm-hmm. you know, people traveled like, cause I went to three, I went to one in Baltimore. I went to one in Orlando, which I was able to drive to. And then I went to one in San Diego. And that's when people are like, oh, you've been to San Diego. I'm like, no, I haven't. Because it's one of those, I was young enough and, you know, I was there to, you know, be there. And I was more of an introvert and everything. Not saying that I'm not now, but I was just even, it was more amplified then. But I landed at the airport, got a cab to the hotel, did not leave the hotel until getting in the cab to go back to the airport. So have I been to San Diego? Technically, yes, but realistically, no.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. That's actually, you know, MobyCon was my first real convention, and mm-hmm. I did not leave the hotel at all because I was doing live action vampire.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you did at the time.
I actually got to use a bed.
Yeah. Like you did at the time, I did my LARPing. You know, I being in Atlanta, like Dragon Con was the home con, but it was also much smaller than mm-hmm. what it is now. I think we had like 3,000 people that showed up, which was big. It's mm-hmm. nothing like today. So, I'm excited. Like it's more nostalgia bait, and it's working on me. What's the nostalgia bait that you would be loving to see? Like, if you could get your nostalgia bait, other than a remake of Guardian Legend?
Gosh, I don't know, really. I don't. Because, I mean, I find my nostalgic places these days at the conventions. Well, I mean, I only go to TwitchCon right now. Mm-hmm. But I always find those things in little digestible packets. And for me, I've always enjoyed cosplay. So I would probably say that finding a good ball-jointed doll community, because that mm-hmm. was one of the first big hobbies I got into when I moved out here. I mean, I've got... Don't fall. There we go. Like,
wow.
I still have, like, one of my first ones. You know, mm-hmm. they ain't cheap. But that was a big thing for me, you know, modeling and doing crafting things. So I think that anything in cosplay tutorials and crafting and doll making, that would probably be the thing that that gets me in, because the other stuff I can find a lot more easily now. We're getting more and more classic titles either remade or revamped or re-somethinged.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I think that's because the people that grew up on them are now old enough to be and have the money to do that type of stuff now and remake those.
And I think that the people also who love them are the ones that are pushing the marketers for or the companies for the ideas. And the companies are like, ding, 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 money, 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 money. I bought all of the Voltron figures. Now we can sell more.
Yep.
That type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the toy industry is
give us a vehicle, Voltron.
Yeah, I mean the toy industry has figured out like that the adults are now like the real big fans of all their stuff, and that's why there's even like in Lego, there's actually an acronym called AFOL, AFOL, and it's one even Lego uses, and it's called Adult Fan of Lego, and they're doing a lot more to cater towards the AFOLs of the world. And it's because, you know, for a long time Lego was seen as a children's toy, and now those children have grown up and
until
they're still
stepped
doing
on them
it.
Then they were a caltrop.
Yes. And I stepped on them even as a kid, and I thought they hurt, and then I said, well, dang it, my cat shouldn't have knocked it off. It was not me, it was my cat, obviously.
Yeah,
obviously.
Well, I mean, and being Southern kids, you know, we ran outside a barefoot on pine cones anyway.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like, if I were to go into Dan's office right now, I could take a picture of his Devastator that he has fully built and posed with a Skywarp, which I like Skywarp better than Starscream, excuse me. He's just cooler looking as my inner goth. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, I've got Kirby's all over my desk. I have bunch of Kirby plushies, a Hot Wheels boyfriend. I got plushies everywhere. You want to go old school? I have a Ryooki, and I have an Aradia Megiddo from Homestuck because I was one of them too. So it's like, no, trust me. Then you never outgrow your fandom.
So I since
Trogdor,
yeah. So I have Trogdor the Burninator. With the thatch, with the peasant with the head on fire down here at the bottom. So this is the plushie I have here with the big beefy arm from Homestar Runner. Actually, this is recent.
Consummate Vs.
This is, and there are Consummate Vs on it. There's the Consummate Vs holding it up to the camera. This is actually recent. This because Fangamer, I believe.
Him in my life.
Yeah, Fangamer recently like re-released a bunch of like the older Homestar Runner stuff. So like I even like rebought shirts that I bought like 20 years ago because I'm bigger now, and so now they fit. But they're like they're literally the exact same shirts I had. It's just now they don't have a hole in them in some places because I wore them so much. So yeah.
Well, it's like I did the what was it, the Gish Wishes thing that why can't I think of his name? But it was like the world's greatest scavenger hunt thing.
Okay.
And one of the challenges to do, which I took for my team, was do a charcoal drawing that's a PSA about burninating the villages starring Trogdor.
All right.
Yeah. So the nostalgia, I mean, we've been on this thing for at least the last, 10 years of going back to our 90s and 80s fandoms and making profit. Profit.
And it's interesting.
Having me a pet.
There you go. It's in, and it's interesting because like if you look at like, you know, it's all cyclical because we're in the 80s. A lot of the TV shows that people loved were about the 60s, you know, like Wonder Years and stuff like that. And even in the 70s, there were shows about the 50s, Happy Days. And there's always been that nostalgic, and it's just we're hitting that point where, you know, right now the 90s and the 2000s are also the nostalgic times, like the 80s for us. But, you know, now we're seeing a lot of the 90s and the 2000s, like Disney Plus recently, you know, X-Men 97 is because the 1997 X-Men, this is the age where the people who were kids as well, when the original X-Men cartoon was out in 97, that one. That now they're at the time where they can spend the money on more stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I have two of the Nightcrawler figures from that series, so, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm also a fangirl.
What else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio 2DX tonight?
Oh, well, the world's on fire, but we have Hello Kitty DLC. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk a little bit about some business that went down with Crunchyroll. Okay. The Xbox partner preview, we're going to go a little bit into that. Some sad news about Starfleet Academy and some Punisher. And if you ever plan to see Mount Fuji, there's a train for you.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio 2DX is coming up next. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Anytime.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Fog Network. Come join us, interact with the show directly, or you can find us on our Discord server, fognetwork.com/Discord. You can also find me on social media at bobbyblackwolf.com on Blue Sky, at bobbyblackwolf on Instagram, or at Fog Network. I actually somehow... we didn't make the account yet, but nobody else took VOG Network on Instagram. So we finally made a VOG Network Instagram account. It's empty. You know, we may start like investigating doing some short form content. And with, you know, everything going on with TikTok and how it's changed since its ownership changed, you know, we're trying to figure out where we're going to do any short form content or if we just do it everywhere. And so I'm shocked nobody else that has VOG Network, because there are other things that have that acronym and they're a network. I am shocked that they did not take it. So I have it. We have it now. We have control of it. We control the vertical and the horizontal. So you can find us on all those places. Or on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. And thank you so much. We have several people that celebrated a watch streak here on Twitch, but you just listening on the podcast is also just fine. Thank you so much to everybody who's been here. Tiger Claw and Dark Sakura announced their watch streak tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and hit the button that gets us out of here so we can go continue to be nostalgic, but also hopefully there's going to be some new things that we can be nostalgic about in the future. I would love to be nostalgic in like 10 years about something that happened in 2026. Let's make it happen, somebody. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.